the stars that light the road. Don't ever leave that girl so cold. Never let me down, just lead me home. Don't tell me this is all for nothing. I can only tell you one thing. On the nights you feel outnumbered, maybe I'll be out there somewhere. I see everything you can be. I see the beauty that you can see. On the nights you feel outnumbered, maybe I'll be out there somewhere.
Welcome to the Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. Glad to have you along tonight, everybody, as we have another special guest tonight. A lot of interviews going on, as you know, still distancing here from the radio station as we're trying to be careful, trying to make sure that everybody stays healthy. So we're not going to waste much time tonight because we got a lot to go over with this this guest. She has done an immense amount of stuff in her career, even though it's still fairly short. She's still fairly young, but we'll go through everything and have a good laugh about some of the stuff. So, ladies and gentlemen, the Hockey Show is proud to welcome another Manitoba-born star to the program tonight as we continue to look at some of the best players in Canada West, anyway, who have grown up right here in Manitoba. Despite growing up here, she's played in Ontario. She now calls the University of Calgary home, where she's working to her Bachelor of Arts degree, and we'll see where the future takes her after that. On the ice, she didn't take the more obvious route to university hockey, but it doesn't mean she didn't earn it. She was named as the Winnipeg Women's High School Hockey League top scorer and MVP before moving on to play at the Ontario Hockey Academy. It was there where she was noticed by the Calgary Dinos, who recruited her to come and play in Southern Alberta, and she's still writing that story today. The Hockey Show is proud, honored, privileged, humbled, and pleased to welcome Miss Annalise Meyer to the show. Anna, how are you?
I'm good, Trevor. How are you?
I am very good, thanks. How's everything going for you? Everybody, I mean, I see, we'll get into the reasons why, but I see you probably more often than I should, but everybody's healthy, though? Everybody's doing well in your household, yeah?
Yeah, everyone's good. We're trying to make the best of the scenario right now.
But good, good. Yeah, that's good to hear then. So, I mean, let's get into this because we got a lot to go over. Like I said, I was telling you before the show, we were doing some digging, we found some stuff. So let's go back two decades when a baby girl was added to the Meyer household among a number of siblings that currently reside there. What was childhood like for you growing up, Anna, in the town of Stonewall, Manitoba?
Oh gosh, well, it's a very hockey-oriented community, that's for sure. Me and my four siblings, we all grew up playing hockey ever since we were, I think, sort of when we were about 4 years old, and mom was a power skating coach and still is today, and so she's been doing power skating for I think almost 30 years now.
Oh wow. So
she taught us all how to skate, and mom and dad coached mostly all of our hockey teams at one point or another, and it was just, we were always running. There was always something to do. Hockey, baseball, piano lessons. There was no stopping for our family.
Oh, piano lessons. Look at you, musical talents.
Oh, well, yeah.
Nice work. Good job. I mean, obviously, with mom being a power skating coach and obviously you guys being in the rink a lot, I mean, is that the best place to sort of reach you when you were a kid? Look up one of the Myers at the local rink and you'll be able to find everybody?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Anytime everyone's like, oh yeah, they'll probably be at the rink, or someone was at the rink, the rest of us were at the rink. If Brandon or my brother was playing, we were all there. There was always one after another.
I mean, totally understand that. I was reading though, you played a ton of sports growing up as well, all sorts of different stuff. How did hockey sort of emerge as your sport of choice then in terms of playing? Just because of the community and the family growing up in hockey, or was it just because you loved it more than any other sport?
I think it was a little bit of both. Like for me, I grew up like my family's kind of two sports were hockey and baseball growing up. And like, those were like kind of our things. We went to school in Winnipeg. So we weren't really able to play a lot of school sports, because they kind of conflicted with hockey and baseball. So our community-based sports were baseball and hockey. So that's kind of what we stuck with. And then once I got into competitive ball, around when I was like 15 or 16, that was kind of where I had to make my decision if I was going to stick with hockey or ball. And hockey was my love, my sport. I loved it. I still do. So I picked that one. And I'm very happy with that decision today.
Yeah, no, I mean, no, that's not a bad decision at all. That's for sure. Yeah. We'll jump ahead a little bit to your formative teenage years, where it seems you spent most of your time either in cars heading to rinks or at the rink, as you were saying. The Interlake Lightning was sort of your first sort of big move as you jumped into the Bantam scene there, 2013-2014, where you played 12 games by Hockey Manitoba's count. How was Bantam hockey at that level for you in terms of playing alongside, from what it looked like, some talented players on that roster?
It was really good. I really enjoyed it. It was definitely a different caliber, as I always just played high school hockey, or I played double A, or I played in the junior women's league, or the women's league in Winnipeg, sorry.
Yeah.
So I played in a lot of different teams and a lot of different players. And once I kind of jumped onto that team, it really shows you how many really good hockey players are in your small community, and you see how far they can go.
Yeah, I mean, just off that team alone, Ashley Hirschfield Hodge and the Lee sisters all went off to play in the JWHL with the Boston Shamrocks from that team. Yeah. When you look at that Lightning team, did you feel like, comparatively, when you're looking at those players, did you feel like maybe there's a chance I could play at a higher level, like maybe there's an opportunity here?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And even my sister grew up playing with like Allison Sexton and a bunch of those girls. Okay. Who went on to play Bisons, and seeing them all go and play university hockey, it was like, oh, I could do that. I think if I stick with it and work hard enough, and I am today, so paid off, I guess.
Yeah, no, it definitely did. So I was trying to piece together your career a little bit in terms of finding little bits of news here and there and everywhere that's out there anyway. It seems at this point, in around this time, you landed at Sturgeon Heights in Winnipeg for high school. How did you end up at that specific school, considering that there were other quote-unquote hockey powerhouses in the city of Winnipeg when it comes to high school hockey?
Yeah, well, me and my siblings all went to Winnipeg schools since kindergarten. We took French immersion, as it wasn't offered in my hometown. So we started there, and that was kind of like our link schools from my elementary to my middle school to my high school. And all of my siblings went to Sturgeon, and yeah, I had opportunities to go to like Shasbury or St. Mary's or other choices. And I just had the community and my friends already there. So for me, that was a huge thing. All my siblings had been there. They all played hockey and they all had amazing experiences. And for me, I don't really always necessarily think it's where you go is where you're going to develop. Really, if you put the time and effort in, you can develop anywhere. And I wanted to have a good high school experience with my friends, and I didn't feel that me leaving was what I needed to do at the time. So, I did leave in my senior year. So other than
that. That's okay. Like I said, we'll go through pieces of this, because you made some pretty big waves at Sturgeon Heights when you were there. 2014-2015 saw you kind of make a modest entrance into the Winnipeg Women's High School Hockey League. Just 11 goals and 2 assists in 20 games. Second overall in scoring on the team. It was like, okay, she's got a little bit of talent. What was your impression, though, joining high school hockey as a grade 9 student, when there's some kids out there who are obviously grade 12 and far more advanced in terms of both size and skill?
Yeah, it was definitely a big jump from playing with girls that are like your age and maybe a year older or a year younger to girls that are 3 years older than you and like 5 times the height of you. It was a little bit of a joke, but it was kind of intimidating going in. But I did, my sister was in her senior year at the time. Yeah. So that's what made me want to play high school hockey. I wanted to play 1 year with her because I thought it'd be pretty cool. And it was, I really enjoyed it. It was super fun. And honestly, just like the high school hockey atmosphere was so fun, and it was competitive, but it wasn't too competitive to the point where it was like, this isn't fun anymore. Like, it was good, and I really enjoyed it. I loved my team. My coaches were amazing, and even being part of that hockey culture and part of the school was a huge thing for me, as I never got to play school sports growing up. So for me, having that connection with the school and hockey at the same time was really important to me.
Yeah, I mean, we'll mention her, because you did mention her. Chanel did play on that team, your older sister. Is it fun to have a sibling play with you on the same team and sort of have that sibling rivalry in terms of how you guys play the game?
Oh, yeah. It was definitely interesting, that's for sure. We really, in the long run, we did enjoy it. Obviously, there were things we bickered about and whatnot, and disagreements. She had seniority rules and everything. But in the long run, it was really fun, and I'm very happy I did it.
Clearly, you had a different impression of the league the next season, because 2015-2016 saw you just go bananas. Like, there was no stopping you, and I don't think anybody did stop you. 39 goals, 30 assists in just 21 games. You won the Winnipeg Women's High School Hockey League Top Scorer Award and the League MVP Award. You were named as a CTV Sports Star of the Week. People can find that fairly quickly with a web search. I got to ask, what led to the 28-goal, 56-point increase that year from the year before in just your grade 10 year?
I honestly don't even know. I just kind of – I think I gained a lot more confidence going in, and I trained harder. At that point in grade 9, I wasn't thinking – long term at the point for hockey. I didn't know if that was even an option for me at that point. So I think that summer going into grade 10, I kind of put into perspective that, oh, this is kind of the time where I need to be thinking about hockey in the long run, and if I want to go and get a scholarship potentially somewhere. And I think that's kind of where I kicked myself into gear a little bit. And I also was playing on three teams that year, so I was getting a lot of ice time in.
Yeah, no, there were, I mean, again, we'll go through a few other of the teams that you've played on as well, because there's a pile of them. But again, looking at sort of that whole year, you said in your Sports Star of the Week clip that you often played defense that year as well. Were you channeling some sort of like Bobby Orr, Paul Coffey, Eric Carlson magic from the blue line to rack up all those points, or what?
Maybe internally in the back of my mind I was. Who knows? If you think about it, you get a lot more speed if you're coming from the blue line.
I mean, that's true. I'm not going to deny it, but I was just like, wow, like that's a ton of points for 21 games on defense. So good for you.
I really do. I do thoroughly enjoy defense. It's a good, I like it. You can see the whole ice. You can see everything going on. Now I'm a forward player.
Yeah. 2016-2017 was also a pretty solid year. Again, you had scoring officials splashing ink all over the place. 36 goals, 24 assists in 21 games. I mean, weird question. You can certainly deny this because I don't think it's the right question to ask, but it seems like high school hockey was a little bit too easy for you, Anna. Did you need more? Were you looking for more competitiveness?
I wouldn't say it was too easy for me, but at the same time, I was playing that grade 11 year. I did go and play for Thompson Triple H. I was playing, a lot of the girls didn't have that opportunity to play that higher caliber at the time, which I did. I was able to have that opportunity. So I think that probably gave me a little bit of a leg up and having that much more ice time and that much more practice. But yeah, no, I did. I was playing that AAA hockey, but I didn't want to, at that point, I didn't want to give up high school hockey because I enjoyed it.
I mean, it looked like you were having a great time out there. So no, yeah, don't give that up. I got to ask, because I was going to ask you about Norman next. I mean, for those that don't know, Norman is basically based out of like Northern Ontario or Northern Manitoba, excuse me, in Thompson. How on earth did you get onto a team that's based in Thompson when you're living in Winnipeg, or you're living near Winnipeg anyway?
It's only a 7-hour drive.
Oh, yeah. It's not a big deal.
No. Well, at the time, high school hockey wasn't, I don't think it still is, but a Hockey Manitoba affiliated hockey.
Right.
So to qualify to try out for Team Manitoba at the time, you had to be playing on a Hockey Manitoba affiliated team, which I wasn't. I was playing AA hockey or women's hockey out of the Highlander, and I was playing high school hockey. And at that point, I was pretty late. I missed tryouts for everywhere. I lived in Stonewall, so I couldn't try out for Avros or anything like that.
Right, yeah.
So the only team, everyone had their teams already. So the only team that had openings was Norman. So I hopped in, I think, a month into the season and went out. My family, my mom was like, yeah, okay, we're going to do that drive. We'll make it happen if we needed to. So that was what I wanted to do. I wanted to try out for Team Manitoba that year. So we made it happen.
that's making it happen, all right. That's the most commitment I've heard from anybody of that age. So congratulations on that. Looking back on your high school career, though, 86 goals, 56 assists, and 62 games is what the career highlights will show. What stands out to you the most about those 3 years with the Huskies before you moved on to a new school?
I would honestly say probably the connections I made. Like, obviously, I made a lot of really good friends through high school and playing hockey, but I'm still very close with my coaches to this day from high school hockey, and I'm very happy for the connections that I still have with them. And even playing with all of the girls and meeting, I'm honestly so friends with quite a few girls that I played against in high school hockey, which I never would have met if I had never played.
Well, you at the All-Star game, you and it looks like Emily Massey were neck and neck in terms of the way you guys played in that game. Did you know Emily, or do you know Emily fairly well, or was that not a...
We're not close, but we do know, like, acquaintance-wise. We're familiar with each other.
You nodded each other on the ice.
Yeah.
We can recognize each other. We're good.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I know what you had in terms of an idea here, but your senior year of high school saw you take a little bit of a detour out to Cornwall, Ontario, where you went to the Ontario Hockey Academy. Why the jump to Ontario? What was the appeal of the OHA for you?
Well, honestly, it wasn't even in my thoughts to go play somewhere else my senior year. It was probably a month before, or maybe a month or two before school was starting up in the summer going into grade 12. And it was during Team Manitoba tryouts that OHA had us a scout out there, and they contacted me and offered me a spot to go play out there. And me and my parents talked about it, and like, it was very, very tough decision for me to make because I didn't want to go start new and not know anybody. I didn't know a soul out there. And I'm not huge on that, but we kind of decided that for me wanting to go play university hockey, that's kind of what I needed to do to get to that caliber, to be ready to go there if it comes to it in the following year.
I was going to say, you didn't do poorly out there at all for not being, you know, for not knowing anybody, not, you know, sort of knowing what was going on out of the OHA. 12 goals, 9 assists, 24 games, and playing against all sorts of different competition, whether it be JWHL or a pile of other different opportunities to play against teams. Seemed like it went well for you guys as you were, you know, competing and certainly beating some of the best prep teams across North America. Did you like the higher level of competition compared to sort of having fun like you did at the high school level and maybe at the Norman level?
I did. I honestly think that it did help me a lot for getting ready because it was a completely different game at that point, especially speed-wise going from high school hockey to university hockey. It is a very big jump to make. So I think I'm very happy that I went and did it because it did prep me for university a lot more. But no, I really enjoyed everything out there. I made lots of friends out there. I'm still friends with multiple of the girls today. So I'm glad I went and did it in the long run.
That OHA team was a little bit of a United Nations team as well. You had teammates from the US, Great Britain, Austria, Norway, and Romania all playing on that team. Did you happen to learn how to trash talk in other languages with all those teammates?
We did some, but I don't recall any of it.
That's awesome. That's what it's always interesting to hear, like, oh yeah, we learned that kind of stuff or whatever from my teammate. Emma Bergeson was one of your teammates out there, now playing for Mount Royal. You guys still, you know, chat about the old days when you're lining up against each other? Yeah.
Yeah, me and Berg, you're pretty close still, so that's good.
that is awesome. Interesting that you were recruited by, we usually never see, you know, a lot of recruiting done in Ontario by Canada West teams, and you were recruited at the OHA by the Calgary Dinos. When did you know that Danielle Goyette was interested in having you on her team at the University of Calgary?
I think I was actually in contact with her when I was playing for Norman in my grade 11 year. I sent out a few tapes to a few different schools that I was interested in, and an old coach of mine got me in contact with her, and I just loved everything about the program. My sister was living out in Calgary, so honestly it was just like an all around, ideally for me, it was like a perfect spot for me to be. My grade 12 year was when the interest really came to, and they were like, yeah, like, we want you on the team. So I'm coming.
come and join us. You don't have to name them. Obviously, you know, you're going to the University of Calgary, so you don't have to trash talk anybody else if you don't want, but, you don't have to name them, but were there other schools that were interested in having you play for them? Were there other schools that contacted you and said, we want you to come and play for us?
There wasn't anything really, in writing or anything like that was like, yeah, we want you to play here.
Yeah,
there was just a little bit of talk back and forth, but nothing crazy. I wasn't, and at that point I wasn't really like going all over trying to find somewhere permanent, kind of in a way. It was kind of just UFC and then the team out in Ontario that I was talking to.
So, I mean, obviously if they contact you in grade 11, like UFC was kind of the odds on favorite then to land you as a player then, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's kind of cool. I mean, that they sort of had you pegged from, you know, from day one sort of thing or whatever, but that's kind of interesting that way.
Yeah.
What's it like going into camp in 2018 and seeing former Team Canada players, Daniel Goyette and Kelly Bichard on the ice when you're stepping on the ice as a rookie? Are you intimidated at all? Does it motivate you to work harder? Like, what's the sense that you get when you first step on the ice and you go, okay, this is the big time now?
It was definitely very nerve-wracking, that's for sure. But at the same time, it was nice because they've all been in the same position that all of us girls have been in. So they know all the nerves that were going through us. They know everyone's not going to do amazing on their first time out on the ice. Everyone's nervous. They're all doing something new for the first time. They're meeting new people. So that was kind of comforting in that sense that they've all done the same thing and gone through the same things as we were. So obviously, yeah, it was very nerve-wracking and very different atmosphere, but all around it was a good experience.
Going into it, I mean, obviously you do a little scouting and you're looking at the team from the year before. Like, looking at the way Calgary sort of, and I hate to say this word, but it's true, looking at the way they were struggling.
Yeah.
Like, do you come in and you kind of go, oh man, like we got a lot of work to do to get back into contention? Or are you coming in just going, I'm going to play my game and let's just go with it?
It was a little bit of both. Like, we all know teams have building years and then peak years kind of thing. And I knew going in and that they were in their building stages. And as this season, we played awesome. Like, yeah. Everyone was at their prime. Like, everyone was doing awesome on our team. So even just looking at that, like, obviously first year didn't go as we would want, but we all knew we were in, like, kind of building years. We had, I think, 7 new players my rookie year. So it's like you're starting fresh, you're playing with new people. It's probably not very common that it goes perfectly.
We'll go through a couple of milestones here for you because you've set a few of them. October 5th, 2018 was your very first Canada West game. It came here in the University of Manitoba Bison's home of the William Fleming Arena. So kind of a bit of a homecoming at the same time for you. What's it like sort of playing that very first game? What's going through your head? Are you anxious? Are you nervous? Like, what's the feeling that you have prior to game number one on your career?
Oh gosh, I think a little bit of everything. Like, you feel excited, you feel happy. It definitely was really nice. My whole family was there. I think there was like 20 of my family members.
Nice.
Game. So I had a lot of support there, which was really nice to have. So obviously it's very nerve-wracking because it's your first game and your people you know are watching and you're playing against a lot of the girls that you used to play against or play with, etc. No, it was pretty good, and there's nothing, I couldn't say there was anything bad experience wise in that sense. It was good.
In terms of that cheering squad, obviously didn't have a goal or anything to cheer about that, but is it easier to play at home, like knowing that you got the support, you know, not the entire crowd, obviously, but the support of like a large number of the crowd, obviously, with your, you know, 20 people there. Is it easier to play in front of that and just kind of settle into your game at that point, knowing that, you know what, I've done this before, it's not that bad?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both for me. Like, when I'm in Calgary, it's probably normally my sister or an aunt and uncle that come to the games kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, I don't have to, I like prove anything to them, but at the same time, I know they're watching on TV, so I'm trying to prove myself. But at the same time, when I was home playing and they were all there, it was comforting for me. It's like, oh, my family's here. This isn't like how normal is.
Do you feel like, and I mean, again, you can answer this in any number of ways, but do you feel like you still have to prove yourself considering that you're playing university hockey on a fairly successful Calgary team that your family would be like, oh, come on, Anna, you can be better than that?
Oh yeah, I try
really?
To be better all the time. Absolutely.
Well, I understand you wanting to be better on yourself, but like proving it to them though, I mean, they're pretty proud of you, aren't they?
No, yeah, they're very proud of me, but there's always something. We're a very critique family. There's always something I do wrong. My mom's a power skating coach. Come on.
Oh yeah, she's probably picking apart your skating as she's watching on TV. Come on, Anna, you know better than that.
Yeah, she's like, your strides are way too far apart. I'm like, okay. fix that next game.
That's all right though. That's good. I just was surprised when you said you're still trying to prove yourself. I was like, wait a minute, what? Like, you know, like you're already playing.
In a good way. Constructive criticism.
I get it. We're okay on that side. Yeah. It took you a week. But your first milestone came a week later on Friday, October 12th, as Calgary hosted Saskatchewan. Do you recall what that milestone was?
An assist?
It would be. Do you recall when or on whose goal?
Oh, gosh.
If you don't, I have it here. So. It was your first Canada West point. It was an assist on Elizabeth Lang's goal at 2:48 of the second period. You guys lost that game to Saskatchewan, but you had your first point. Do you recall anything about that goal, that assist? No?
Nothing.
It didn't stand out.
Many of them, I should remember this.
Well, no, that's okay, though. The next milestone would take 53 weeks to accomplish. Do you recall that milestone that you hit on October 19th, 2019, when the Bisons were visiting Calgary?
I scored my first goal?
It's a couple of them, actually, in the same goal. You had your first Canada West goal and your first game winner as you scored at 4:45 of the third period on Amanda Schubert in a 2-1 win. Do you remember that goal?
I do remember that one. My family was there, actually.
Nice!
Yes.
So, I mean, walk us through it. What do you remember about that highlight? Because, I mean, it's a pretty historic moment for you.
Yeah. I don't know. I was trying so hard to score. My end of my first year, I was so close so many times. Just was not... so for me to get that goal was pretty exciting. I was like, thank God my monkey is off my back.
Did you keep the puck from that night? Do you still have the puck somewhere?
I still have the puck.
Excellent. That's a good milestone souvenir to have then for sure. Yeah. You've played in a couple Crowchild Classics now. I mean, you've gone through 2 years of university hockey. Let's make no mistake about it. We think we know rivalries out here in Manitoba because we always, have had a competitive team for a long time and certainly have some good rivalries, but you guys have a crosstown rival in the Mount Royal Cougars. I asked Chelsea Halson about this last week about the Regina Saskatchewan rivalry, thinking about, you know, just how much hatred they may have for each other. So I'll ask you as well, is the hate between the Dinos and the Cougars as real as it gets, or are there other rivalries, for example, Alberta, that are far more intense?
It's definitely a rivalry, but it's fun for us. Like, it's not like a crazy or like aggressive. I would honestly say that a more like aggressive rivalry for us would probably be UBC.
It's funny that a lot of teams pick out UBC. Why? What makes the hatred or what makes the intensity for UBC so much more?
They're all so big. They're so tall. And they're just aggressive. And I think everyone knows going into play those games that they're going to be aggressive. So, like, you're going to be aggressive, too. Obviously, we're going to be aggressive against every team that we play. But most teams know playing them, you're going to be more aggressive.
I mean, I won't deny it. I mean, we always talk about the size of UBC, and certainly that's one of the factors for sure. So, I mean, I can see where that gets going. Is there any team, and again, you don't have to name specific teams you don't want because you may have to play against them this year, but is there any team that you absolutely are like, I just don't like playing them, like for whatever reason I don't like them, besides what? UBC? I mean, it could be UBC if that's the answer.
No, honestly, not really. I think I honestly enjoy playing all of our competitors. Like, everybody, all the different teams make us work on different parts of our game. Like, some are really good defensively, some are really good offensively, their power play is super hard to defend. Like, all the time in our practice, we are all practicing new things according to which teams we're kind of playing. So it makes us really work on all different aspects of our game, which I enjoy.
You guys got to play the late game at the Crowchild Classic last year for the first time in like forever. Is it way more fun with the huge crowd there later in the evening? Like, it looked like it was a blast for you guys to play in front of that monster crowd that was there.
It was pretty cool, not going to lie. It was really fun. It was a really different atmosphere than the first game. But I don't know. I kind of enjoyed the first game a little bit more, almost. But I don't know why. It just was a different – I think maybe the nerves leading up to it after you have to wait for a first game to finish and then the second game kind of thing maybe for me. But
I was going to say, you guys were the main attraction. You were the prime time this year. How can you not be excited for that?
It was really exciting. Honestly, Crowchild Classic always is awesome. It's so much fun.
I mean, like I said, it looked like you guys had a blast this year. So, I mean, definitely, hopefully you guys get more of the prime time opportunities there. Got to ask you then, because, I mean, this season was pretty big, considering that you guys were rolling for most of the season. You finished second place in Canada West, obviously. It looked like all the building that Danielle had done over the last couple of years in terms of, you know, bringing in right players and getting the right players in place and making sure people were progressing as they should was going to pay off. But again, those darn Cougars kind of went and spoiled the party. Not here to open old wounds. I don't want to, you know, have any tears on the radio or anything like that. But does that loss still sting as badly today as it did when you guys went down the handshake line?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, it was. It was unfortunate, but at the same time, it was, especially it sucks now because the whole COVID thing going on right now kind of spoils our, we had a good momentum going. We were all very looking forward to the season, and it's kind of a downer for even us and all the other teams in Canada West. But it's building year, I guess.
Well, I mean, we talked about it a couple of times when Manitoba had the bye. Do you feel the bye is a disadvantage at that point? Because the team that's coming in is getting on a roll in terms of winning those games in the quarterfinal. Do you find that having that week off, I mean, yeah, you can rest and you can, you know, get the bumps and bruises healed, but do you find not having that constant sort of regular, you know, game to play kind of throws off the momentum a little bit?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like in a sense it does. And I genuinely think it's a big mind over matter thing. Like, I think if you're going in thinking, oh, we're losing our momentum, which isn't, I went in thinking we have that extra weekend as rest, as they're going to have two or three more games on us. But I look at it as we're getting that two to three games on them, really taking the break off. Because we practiced the weekend and everything. Like, we didn't really take time off. We just weren't having that intense games that they were.
Yeah. And like I said, we always thought that was kind of the key, is that keeping that intensity high is always, you know, the toughest part, right? Because if you're not playing, what are you doing, right? So, do you cheer for Mount Royal after they beat you, or do you cheer for Alberta in the final at that point?
I think we were cheering for Mount Royal. I think
everybody was. Not to say that everybody hates Alberta, but they're like, they were the underdog, right? So
yeah, exactly.
New winners. Did you watch any of the games from the East Coast, from PEI?
No, I like
for Nationals. Before they got canceled.
They didn't play any games, I don't think, did they?
No, they did, yeah. No, Mount Royal actually beat Toronto in overtime.
Oh, yeah, they did, eh?
Yeah.
No, I didn't get to watch any of those games.
Oh, I just wanted to, you know, because, again, we're going in there going, oh, okay, we're going to, you know, this might be Mount Royal's year. They keep the storybook going sort of thing or whatever in terms of writing the historic ending or whatever. And then they almost did, which was kind of crazy. So
yeah, I remember we were watching the stats of the games online. We were doing something as a team. I can't remember what it was, but we were all watching it on our phones.
No, that's totally fair. Like I said, we were like, yeah, oh, yeah, they did it. All right, that's great. So
yeah.
Got to ask it, because I think it's going to kind of cool. I don't know if Danielle's kind of trying to put the band back together, so to speak, but are you excited to have Grace Mackles come back with you and join the Dinos this year?
Yes, I'm very excited to have her back out there. When Danielle told us, she's like, yeah, there's a girl from BC, and Danielle asked me about her a couple months ago, and I was like, oh my god, BC. So I had to go, I texted her, I was like, are you going to my school next year? She's like, yep. I was like, oh, thank goodness. She's a really good player, very strong, smart player. So she'll be a good asset to our team, I think.
Yeah, she came out of a pretty good university squad out of Liberty University there. So you guys will probably have a fairly strong team again this year. Obviously, a lot of, in terms of just some of the recruits that are coming in, a lot of well-known players that are coming in now, only because, again, you guys picked up two players from Lethbridge and Ali Borough and Kyra Gregg, and then you're getting Ashley Sutherland coming down from Red Deer. Really no quote-unquote rookies as we look at it. Certainly new to the team, but not new to the conference. Are you guys excited about getting back on the – I mean, obviously it sucks with – and we'll go into this in a second, but are you guys excited just to get back and start seeing how the team comes together now?
Yeah, I think it'll be really cool to see how we all kind of blend in together. And we did lose a couple of our girls last year.
Yeah.
But then again, we didn't lose a crazy amount of them. Like, we only three. So It'll be good to see how we can, even because we're not starting the season until January, hopefully, it'll be interesting to see how much we can do to really make our team better in those 3-4 months that we're going to have.
What do you think of the short schedule? Do you think that this is the right move by Canada? I mean, obviously it's the right move just for public health safety and, yes, and yeah, all that information, but do you think it's the right move to have a shorter schedule? Do you feel they should just maybe scrap the season altogether, considering that you're only going to get at most maybe 12 games in?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like, I mean, it doesn't count as a eligibility year for the for the 5th year, well, which is kind of nice.
But it will, though, if there's a national championship. That's the catch. Yeah. And right now they haven't canceled it. It's still scheduled for Montreal, although Montreal in Quebec is a bit of a gong show with the whole COVID in that province. But we'll see what happens. But if they have to use up if the 5th year's play, they lose that year, which kind of sucks. Again, everybody else loses a year as well. But that's why I'm asking, like, do you think it's a good idea that they run this season despite only having maybe at the most half a season or a third of a season to play?
I feel like it's kind of hard to judge for who's kind of the top teams of Canada West off of 12 games, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the best way to do it, but I mean, that's how they're going to do it. I also think that there's probably going to be a second wave of COVID in.
Well, yeah.
So we'll see. I don't know how long it'll actually last or if it will actually go through. But honestly, I guess if it happens how it happens, we're just going to try and make the best of it and hope for the best.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's all we can do. I just didn't know. I mean, to us, we look at it, I mean, as broadcasters, we kind of look at it and we go, it doesn't really make a lot of sense to just play 12 games, especially if you don't get off to that good start. Like, if you lose the first weekend, you're already in the hole, and it's just kind of like, okay, we have to win, like, out from now on or whatever. And then
it's hard to judge a team off of 12 games.
Right. Because, I mean, and don't take anything away from this, but Regina was 3-10-3 last year at Christmas, and they ended up in fourth place, or fifth place, or whatever it was. And you kind of go, like, they made a huge run in the second half, and you go, you just don't have that opportunity this year. So it's kind of tough to sort of, like you said, to judge. But I guess the good news is that, you know, you guys got a little bit bigger this year in terms of Canada West, but also got a little bit smaller with with what went on. McEwen and Trinity Western are in. How do you feel about two new teams joining the conference this year?
I think it'll be pretty cool to have some new teams in there and see the different calibers, see if we're even or not, or it'll be cool. I'm excited for it.
Lethbridge being out and out for good. What are your thoughts on the program getting cut in Lethbridge, considering that they were fairly close to you guys and often were in your backyard? So
yeah, I think it's always sad to see a program go, especially in the hockey community. So that obviously isn't great. And I hope that most of the girls all hopefully get to find new teams to play for. But yeah, no, it's obviously not nice to see that happen for any of those guys or girls, because it was both teams that got cut. So I just hope that, even because U of A, aren't they not having their season either?
That's the next question. Having the perennial powerhouse Alberta Pandas not play because the season apparently won't work for them, how do you feel about not having, I would say, the arch rival of the entire conference playing hockey this year?
It'll be kind of unfortunate, honestly. They always put up, they're always good competition for us. We all go into those games knowing we all need to do our best, and we can't afford to make a lot of mistakes. So not having that, I feel like it'll be odd.
Well, and I mean, they're sort. And I hate to say it this way, because I mean, we try not to, you know, measure teams based upon where they are, but they're basically the bar that everybody else measures against, right? Like, if you can go in and beat Alberta, you got a pretty good shot at winning the conference. And I mean, that's the thing, is that with no Alberta this year, I mean,
anyone can win.
right. It's wide open. But I mean, looking at who was there last year, I mean, you know, you guys will probably have from just based on our projections anyway, you guys will have a pretty good team. Looks like Mount Royal have a pretty good team. Saskatchewan will be there again. But really, it'll all come down to, I mean, how do you manage those 12 games? And if you lose a weekend or two, you're in trouble at that point. So
yeah, can't afford to. The games are all going to be so close, and everyone's going to know that you can't afford to make mistakes in these games. It's going to be pretty high strung, I think.
I mean, it's going to make for a fairly intense season, I think, where people are, it's going to be legitimately from the moment the puck is dropped, you got to be ready to play at that point. I don't know if people are aware of this. I wanted to point it out because I think it's pretty awesome. You received a pretty impressive award as you were named a recipient of the 2019 Future Leaders Scholarship recipient for leadership and skills development coaching. How did that come about?
I think an email got sent out. I actually can't remember how it got sent to my mom, but she forwarded it to me. And I have always grown up coaching power skating to kids and stuff with my mom. And I love it. And I'm with my arts degree, I'm going to go get my BA in education.
Oh, nice.
Eventually. So I've always liked teaching and I love kids and everything about that. So the email came about a coaching clinic going on in Red Deer, and my mom sent it my way. And she goes, "It'd be a really good opportunity for your coaching and scholarship opportunities." And I was like, honestly, yeah. So I ended up staying in Alberta a little bit longer at the end of the season last year. And I went out to it and I had an amazing time. The program was amazing. I can't say enough good things about it. I learned so much as a coach, even as a player, like the things that coaches have to do. And like, even if there's ever issues, they like kind of teach you how to approach certain things. If there's issues through teams and coaches and how to approach it as a coach or as a player in that sense. So I'm really happy I did it. I learned a lot from it. I met a lot of really cool people. So that was fun.
You mentioned coaching power skating. Is coaching hockey something you want to do if and when you're done playing?
Yeah, I would for sure do that in the future. I really enjoy it. And I feel like once as a girl growing up playing hockey, I didn't have, it was mostly like dad's coaching and stuff like that. I think having someone that you kind of look up to who went that far, having someone coaching you in that sense, it gives girls a better idea of that.
We talked about being this. Go ahead, Anna.
Sorry. Just saying that like they should, I just want them to understand, like you can be playing anywhere. And if you do what you need to do to get there, you can kind of go play wherever you want.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's definitely, a good message for any girl listening today for sure. Cause you went all over the place to play, and like I said, didn't take sort of a traditional route of playing, female midget hockey and then getting into, you went high school, you went all over the place, you went to Ontario, and then all of a sudden, hey, you're playing Canada West. So, you can do anything and put your mind to it sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I got to ask you, one of the things that we always talk about, especially with our side of the coin in terms of making sure you guys get the best coverage you can get, we always talk about how we think the broadcasts, and I know you guys maybe don't watch them, you don't care to watch them, whatever, in Canada West could be better, or how they can be better. Do you think that there's a lot, especially when we look at the Hockey Canada Development Camp that happens in Calgary every year, there's very few U Sports women that are invited to it. And we always wonder why. And we get there's an NCAA bias. We understand why there's a bias. We get that. But looking at the way that U Sports hockey has really developed over the last 5-10 years to have some of the better players in Canada sort of come out of there, the Melanie Daous and those players. Yeah. Do you think that we on the broadcasting side, we on the marketing side, we on just everything in terms of promoting U Sports women's hockey don't do a good enough job? Is that something you would like to see improved upon when it comes to maybe getting more stature with Hockey Canada?
I think honestly, there's always room for improvement when it comes to honestly all women's sports coverage
and
broadcasting, whether video, news, everything, as it's always overlooked in a lot of senses. It has improved immensely throughout the years, so I can't bash it in too bad, but there's always, honestly, it could always be covered more, advertised more, because not a lot of people like know about it, or if that makes sense. Like even like our Crow Child class games, we've always been the first game because it's early in the evening and people are still getting off school and making their way over, and more people want to watch the men's game, if I'm being honest. So
but I think that's where it fails though, because and as much as people want to women's hockey is not the same as men, it's not the same as men's hockey. It's played with far more skill. You have to have better, there's a bunch of different skills you have to have. Again, there's no body checking, not that there isn't contact, but there's no specific body checking, and we all get that. But I think people miss the fact that, again, and I look at the SDHL, who, JC Magwood signed over there, who, she was, leading scorer basically in Regina every year. I look at the fact that, you know, Erica Reeder went there last year. I look at the fact that Matea Fisher just got signed over there as well from UBC. Like, I look at the fact that Hockey Canada seems to miss out on, and again, I know that Matea's Norwegian, she's never going to play for Hockey Canada, but I look at the fact that Hockey Canada maybe misses out on a number of great players who were right under their noses just because they're playing for a U Sports program as opposed to an NCAA program. And I go, like, a player like Grace, for example, who's coming in, who has played in the NCAA, might hit their radar at some point, but it's hard to say because, and I go, you have two teams right in your back. Mount Royal and Calgary are right there. Why aren't you going down the street just to check them out? And I just wonder if maybe that's something that we should, I mean, Hockey Canada should be sort of criticized for, and that they don't look at U Sports maybe as deeply as we do.
I agree. Yeah. I feel like in a lot of people's back of their mind, they think that NCAA is better than U Sport in a way. But personally, I think if you put two teams at the top of their leagues from NCAA and U Sport, I think they're going to be pretty similar in my opinion. And that's what I feel like. That's just like an idea in people's heads that that's kind of how it has been and always has been kind of thing. I think there's a lot of overlooked talent in U Sport for sure.
We got about 10 minutes to go. We usually try and wrap up these interviews with some fun stuff. Do you want to have a few softball? Well, no, we'll talk about softball anyway in these in these questions, but softball questions thrown at you right now, Anna, so you can have some laughs before we get out of here.
Sure.
All right, let's start with this one because you've worn a ton of numbers in your career. You wore number 11 with Sturgeon Heights, number 10 with OHA and Interlake. You wore number 20, or you're wearing number 22 in Calgary. You wore number 7 with the South Interlake Philly softball team. What number is your favorite number to wear, and do you have any significance for why you wear it or why you try to wear it?
7 is probably my favorite number. Okay. That was just kind of our family's number. When I'm growing up, everyone in my family was just number 7. That was just it. That was our number, lucky number. And then once I got into high school and stuff, there was no number. It was taken. So I was like, okay. And then my brother, when he was playing high school hockey, he was number 10. And I was like, okay, I'm going to be number 10. So we kind of just followed them. And then coming into university, the 10 and 7 were gone. So I put my birth month and my birth date together and made 22.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. That's all right. That's all right.
Yeah. And then it was Haley Wick and Iger's jersey too. So that was kind of cool.
I was going to ask you. That's the next question on that one. It was, do you know who else wore number 22? So how do you feel about wearing the Legends number?
It's pretty cool. It wasn't even in my mindset when I was picking the number. And then mom's like, would you pick it because Haley Wickenheiser wore it? I was like, no, but that's cool.
You said, do you still live with your sister in Calgary? Or do you live with teammates right now?
I live with my sister.
Okay, so I got to ask then, who does the pregame meal for you? Is it you that makes it or is it your sister that makes it?
I think it's a little bit of both. We normally do meal preps, so I'm not a big cooking person, so I'll go get the groceries and then she'll cook it for me.
Okay, that makes sense.
And then I'll just heat it up.
That's fair. No, nothing wrong with that. What is a normal pregame meal for Anna Meyer before a game?
I really like rice and beef or chicken and stuff like that. That's like kind of like my go-to.
Totally fine with that. If it's cheat day, what will we find you cheating with?
Probably a burger. But like a good burger, not like a McDonald's burger.
No, you like something with some real sort of substance to it. I get that.
I'm cheating, it's gonna be good.
I'll give you a few names. You give us sort of a word or a sentence or a story about these people, these individuals, that really sort of highlights who they are and what kind of person they are to you. Do you want to take a shot at these?
All right.
Let's start with former captain Paige Mykolenko.
Oh boy. Oh geez. Probably like one of the funniest and genuine people that I know.
Goaltender Kelsey Roberts.
One thing for her hockey wise, she very seldomly gets down on herself. And if she does, we don't know about it. She's very good at keeping her head in the game.
Head coach Danielle Goyette, only because we only see one side of her.
Yeah. She is a softie. You wouldn't believe me, but she is. She may be intimidating, but she is very team oriented and very cares about all of us a lot.
I'm not gonna lie, it seems like she hates us as media, so we just sort of okay, she does her own thing, so
yeah, you just gotta leave the French alone.
Former OHA teammate, and I mean, you know, I know you already talked a little bit about her, but let's talk about Grace a little bit.
She's lively, that's for sure.
We were doing a little bit of a project this summer trying to find some of the new faces, and we were looking at some of the pictures, and it looks like she just, like, when she hits the ice, like, she is legitimately, like, in her zone.
Oh, yeah. She's zoned in, like, don't get in her way kind of thing. She's one of those people that is so different off the ice and so, like, completely different player on the ice.
You've been to all the arenas now, at least the ones that we know of. We haven't been to McEwen and Trinity Western yet, but... Of all the arenas you've been to so far in Canada West, or even in your career, which is the one you've liked the most? And that includes the Saddle Dome. You can use that as well.
Yeah, I like the Saddle Dome. It's always so hot in there. Sask, beautiful rink. Yeah, that's probably one of my favorites, honestly. I really like bright arenas, and that one's probably the brightest. That's my thing. I don't like dark and dingy.
That's okay then. A tougher question then. Which arena do you absolutely hate going to?
Oh, I think Mount Royal probably.
Really?
I don't like the setup.
I've got a couple of answers. Like, people don't like Claire Drake. People don't like. That's the first one I've heard from Mount Royal though.
Yeah, I don't like how the setup is. That it's. I don't know. I think it's just a me thing, probably.
That and the old Rutherford. Everybody seems to hate the old Rutherford where Saskatchewan used to play as well. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I ever... Did I play there?
If you... It might have been before.
I heard it was... Before. Actually, no. U of A. I hate their
rink. Yeah, Claire Drake, yeah.
Oh, it's so yellow.
That's all right. That's okay. Yeah, I totally agree. Like I said, we've had.
But a I heard they're. I heard they're building a new one, so that'll be cool.
Hopefully, that'll happen. Yeah. You don't have to name them if you don't want to. You can just pass on these. Who do you hate playing against the most? Which player gives you the most headaches?
I don't honestly have. I don't think there's a player that I hate playing against. Honestly.
Really? Oh, that person's gonna get it tonight.
I think there's a girl on UBC. She's kind of dirty. I don't know. I'm not going to name names.
No, that's fine. That's okay. Yeah, like I said, you don't have to name anybody if you don't want. Which goalie seems to have your number no matter what you do?
Oh, the Lethbridge goalie.
Anderson?
Yes.
Well, I mean, you don't have to worry. She graduated, thankfully, but you won't have to worry about her anyway. But anybody else that from teams that are still playing anyway?
I don't think so.
Looking at sort of, and again, well, you don't have to answer this if you don't want, because it's going to put you on the line a little bit here. Put your prediction on the line. Looking at where you guys finished last year compared to who you brought in and what you have going on this year, where does Calgary finish in the standings this year?
I can pinpoint an exact spot, but I can see us probably in the top three.
Okay, that's fair. Nothing wrong with that. No, that's totally fine. You were playing, you now play slow pitch, and I see you regularly out there, which is fine. When you played softball though, where did you play? What position did you play?
I normally played shortstop or second.
Do they not let you play that on your current team?
I play first base.
I'm aware, that's why I'm asking. Did they not let you play that on your team?
Oh, no. I don't want to play in that spot.
What?
No, I don't want the balls being fired at me. I like catching the ball. I'd rather not have a ball flying at my face.
Oh, you'll be fine, Anna. I don't know what you're talking about.
Sure I am.
I mean, obviously, and I mean, you can choose what you want here. This is totally an open question for you. But it's always one that I find interesting because I think it really shows just what you've learned. If you, Anna, today had a chance to go back and talk to younger Anna from yesteryear, what advice would you give yourself?
Probably start working out earlier. and just enjoy everything a little more, maybe. I think I was so stressed. You're always just so stressed out about everything, and you're worried about everybody else. And even today when I play, I'm very in my head about things and I'm nervous and I'm worried about what other people are going to think or if I mess up kind of thing, which one, that's a big thing, is just get out of your head, play your game, and that's it.
Is there anything you're involved with? Obviously I know you guys are, you know, at U Sports, this U Sports level, are involved in a bunch of charity stuff. Is there anything that you want to promote that you're involved with either here in Calgary or either in Calgary or here in Winnipeg, that you're currently involved with?
I really, in every year we do the, at the Saddle Dome, we do, like a girls' day kind of thing.
Yeah.
Hockey players. And I really, really enjoy that. I think it's awesome for all those young girls to see all of us dinos and not royal girls and see we're all playing university hockey and that's where they can be it and do it. And I love that. We do it, I think it's one day. I can't remember what month we do it, but every year it's so much fun for me. I really thoroughly enjoy it. We go on the ice, we do off ice training, and just seeing all the little girls having fun. It's pretty cool.
Last question. This one will be certainly fun for you to answer because you don't have to give us, we're not going to hold you to this answer by any means, but what is the goal? What is the personal goal that you've set for yourself for this year? Is there anything specifically that you want to accomplish this year?
Yes, I want to be able to put the puck in the net a little more for sure. And work on my foot speed. That's what we're focusing quite a bit right now in the summer for my training.
Oh. Is mom kicking your butt on that? Is that what she's doing?
No.
Oh.
I'm listening to my mom very much about things like that.
So. That's all right. That's okay then. No, I'm just asking.
Yeah, I just do trainings out of a couple facilities in the city. So.
Yep, well, that's fair then. Anna, we won't take up any more time. We're almost out of time here anyway. So I want to say thank you for coming on. By all means, door is always open. If you want to come back, you can certainly come back and promote anything you want. But I want to say thank you for giving us your time today, talking a little bit about Dinos hockey, because we never really get a chance to talk to a lot of people from outside the city anyway when the season starts. So sure. Thanks for coming on and giving us your story. That's awesome.
Thank you so much for having me.
So there is my interview with Anna Meyer, an outstanding forward for the Calgary Dinos. Happy to have her on the show. Happy to talk to her and get her a little bit more exposure. We're looking for her next year. Number 22 with the Dinos. Hopefully we'll get the chance to see Dinos come to town and maybe see Anna play on the ice once more. Just want to give everybody a quick heads up. Talking to Bison equipment manager Matt Ralph yesterday, and Matt did inform me that the women's equipment that we were looking at before, the CCM FTH, has arrived in Manitoba. They are available for sale in most stores, or at least in some stores right now. Should be available across the province later on this month. So if you're looking for more, I would say, female-oriented equipment, equipment that fits females better, it's now available here in Manitoba. The CCM FTH shoulder pads and chest protector, all available, at least in some stores in Manitoba right now, should be available throughout the rest of Manitoba through July. And with that, folks, we are out of here for another week here on The Hockey Show. Going to let Free Range Radio and Skippy get in here right away. Got a big show from him coming up. I'm going to take you out with Dermot Kennedy's Outnumbered tonight, as picked by Anna for her show here. I want to thank her again for coming on the show. Again, catch her with the Calgary Dinos all season long as they get back into hockey in January, knock on wood. With that, though, we are out of here for another week. Folks, thanks for tuning into The Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM. I see the beauty that you can see. On the nights you feel outnumbered, maybe I'll be out there somewhere. Somewhere, somewhere, somewhere.